Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
I've entitled this message, and you know, I think it's really relevant right now. The title of this message is What's Up, Danger? I don't know if you know that song. Does anybody know that song, What's Up, Danger? Three people, four people. So good. Some people looking at me like, what the heck is that song? What's Up, Danger? Yeah. It's because, you know, I talked about this at our leaders' retreat, you know, 2,000 anthamaras, 2,000 surrounding us, traveled 2,000 kilometers to hang out with us. What's up, danger? I said, well, what's up, danger? Oh, you don't know that with me. Can't sing along. Okay, I'll do that later. I'll teach you that song. But anyways, this movie that I've watched, and most of you probably wouldn't have watched it because it's a cartoon, and it's that Spider-Man one, whatever it's called. Anyway, I listened to this soundtrack, you see, because this soundtrack has got, let me find a really good word. It's got guts. It's just got attitude. It's got strength to it. It's got, I'm going after something. And as I was, you know, talking to the Lord about today, you know, what do you want to say to your people, your children? What do you want to do? And this soundtrack that sometimes, you know, I might go running with, and it's honestly, it's the best soundtrack to go running with. Like, you know, it's like, because I run on the treadmill sometimes, and then as I was listening to this soundtrack, my arms are going out. I can't help it. You know, I'm running, but I'm like I'm just, yeah. You know, sometimes we need to get a little bit, yeah, a little bit of that. You know, I don't even know the word for it, but a little bit of, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to get this. And so today, you know, I really felt the Lord want to stir us to go after something in God, and that no matter what the situation that you face, you see, we face all sorts of different circumstances, especially being a pastor and being connected to so many people in so many different life situations. My life can be like up and down like a yo-yo. One minute someone's telling me, you know, I've been praying and for 10 years we've been trying to have a kid and finally I'm pregnant, or someone else on that same day has a miscarriage. So, you know, it's like, yeah, oh, someone's getting married. You go to their wedding and it's awesome, and then someone tells you they're getting a divorce. Like, you know, you can go through life and there's all these different situations that you face. So, you know, this is where I want us to get real. I want us to understand the reality of life. You know, life isn't always a bunch of roses. Life can be challenging. One minute can be up and next minute to be down. But God wants us and wants to empower us that no matter the situation that we face, we're on even keel. Nothing's going to disturb me. Nothing's going to set me on a path of confusion and worry and freaking out. No, I got this. I'm cool. No matter that test result. No matter your husband walking out on you. No matter your husband raising his hand to you. No matter your child walking out on you, starting a lifestyle of drugs or alcohol abuse. No matter what life brings to you, the Bible talks about having the ability to be on an even keel, to know it's going to be all right, because God's going to turn it around. So no matter what I face, I got this. I got this. Because God has got this. And so even though life can be very, very challenging with all sorts of different experiences, and we can go through all sorts of different seasons in life and this journey of life with its ups and downs, God wants us to be successful in this life. And so he's given us some keys found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. I'm pretty sure I heard Cape Town shouting out over the word of God as we're turning to it, but I didn't hear Melbourne shouting out their agreement. We're going to turn to, I'll give you another opportunity, Philippians chapter 4. Yeah. Do we not remember how powerful this word is? As soon as I start reading this word, do you realize it's starting to activate? That's what the Bible says, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's active. As soon as you read it, as soon as you declare it, as soon as you pray it, something supernatural starts to take place, all because I just started to read the word of God. Because when I read the word of God, I'm coming into agreement with what God has already said. So when we turn to the word, whether it's 6 o'clock in the morning and you're doing your devotions, there should be a little bit of rejoicing happening there. And just like here in Planet Shakers Austin, there needs to be a rejoicing because, oh my goodness, the word of God is going to go out on over my life. I'm going to get changed today because of the power of God's word. You see, this is not a story. This is not a fairy tale. This is the truth. We believe this. Oh, I need some more agreement. I need some agreement from that middle back section there. Yeah, oh my Lord Jesus, we need a revival there. Lord Jesus, would you pour out your spirit on the middle section? Lord, just free them of any kind of quietness. Amen. All right, therefore, my brethren, whom I love and yearn to see, my delight and crown, wreath of victory, thus stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat and advise these girls that I can't pronounce their name to agree and to work in harmony in the Lord. And I exhort you too, my genuine yoke fellow, help these two women to keep on cooperating, for they have toiled along with me in the spreading of the good news, the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in him. Again, I say, rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace that transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, and whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. Here are the keys for us to experience that steadfast, immovable kind of life. I don't know if you want that kind of thing. Do you like being a yo-yo? I don't. I am a yo-yo sometimes. I'm up 1 minute, down the next. Feeling good, then feeling terrible. Feeling full of energy, then feeling full of exhaustion. Well, not full, but depleted. Exhausted. Good. Got that. And so we as Christians, we think that maybe that we can be a yo-yo. I can't find a yo-yo in the Bible. Instead, I find the Apostle Paul talking to us. See, the context of this scripture is he's telling everyone, I know how to live whether times are good or times are bad. I know how to keep this even keel. And right here, he's giving us the keys that no matter the storms of life, no matter how our circumstances may change, one minute they're good, next minute they're bad, no matter what, I'm good. Everything is good. I feel good. I know it's going to be good. We're not just tossed around, up and down, going everywhere. But we can live this life that is full of peace and assurity, knowing that everything's going to be good. Not living in fear, not living freaking out all the time, not living in reaction, but living in the steadfast love of God, power of God, peace of God, joy of God. This is the kind of lifestyle I want. I don't know about you. Maybe you like being a yo-yo. So here are the keys. Are you ready for the keys? You're going to put these keys on your key ring? Because this is what you're going to start your car with tomorrow. This is what you're going to start your life with tomorrow. And these keys are really significant. So if you grab hold of these and start practicing these things, this is where your life is going to change. See, I don't want to be a church that just says everything's wow and everything's amazing and just God is just so amazing and everything's just amazing. Who lives a life like that? One day we will in heaven. In the meantime, we live here on earth. And so let's be really honest with each other that even in church, oh no, God forbid, even in church, there are hard times. But God does not want you to become overwhelmed by these hard times. He wants to empower you to overcome. He wants to empower you so you start dictating terms rather than your circumstances dictating how you should be. And that's what I want to give you today. So you ready? What about in Geneva? Are you ready in Geneva? Yes, we. Anyway, first, stand firm in the Lord. Don't just stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord. Do you know who's with you? Do you know who's on the inside of you? Do you know who holds you in the palm of his hand? God. Do you know that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God? Do you realize that? So today, we can stand firm no matter what comes our way. I'm in the Lord. If God is with me, oh, that means it's a majority. So if God is with me, who can be against me? I'm in the Lord. God wants you to stand firm in the Lord. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. He has not abandoned you. He has adopted you. You are his children. He wants the best for you. So you're going to stand firm in the Lord. The second thing that you're going to do is you're going to agree and work in harmony. There were two chicks, whatever their names are. Obviously, they weren't getting along. And so Paul was saying, look, encourage these girls. They've been working with me. They've been doing the right thing. But encourage them to remain harmonious, remain in agreement. Remain together. And this is what we need to do. I keep talking about this. I know I go on and on about the power of agreement, but I really believe it. Why? Because the Word of God says to agree, and where two or three agree together, it shall be done by our Heavenly Father. So I believe all those kind of things. So we need to get in agreement. We need to get in harmony. So I'm going to stand in the Lord, and I'm going to agree with all my brothers and sisters in Christ that God is going to break through, that God is going to heal me, that God is going to provide for me. This is what we got to do. This is why we're always pushing you, because we want you to agree together, because if we agree together, God will do it. So can you see that when the circumstances come against us, if we want to be all over the place, I'm a yo-yo, I'm up my 1 minute, down the other. But if you were to stand firm in the Lord, and you're going to get some agreement with you, you can stand even stronger. But you can stand knowing that your prayers of agreement are having a powerful effect to change your circumstances. So many of us live in our circumstances thinking, this is what God has got for you. God must be punishing me. God must be upset with me. This is why I'm going through a hard time. No! God loves you. God's provided an escape. His name is Jesus. He's your Savior. He's come to pay that price so you don't have to go through all this. But you can stand in the Lord. Come into agreement together. We need to agree together. Next week when Pastor Russell begins to declare over us the prophetic word of the Lord, we need to harmonize together. We need to say, oh yes and amen. I agree. I believe it, because as we agree, it gets broken over my life. I can experience this. This is my words. The next thing, I need to race. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. No, I'm just going to do it when I feel like it. No, it's not about your feelings. Sorry. That's the yo-yo, remember? Up, down, up, down. No more yo-yos. We're going to cut those strings today. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I know through my own experience, times can be really tough and they can be hard and they can be traumatic, hurtful. This is life. So I totally understand that. And so you rejoicing in that tough time, that's tough. That's hard. Let's not whitewash it. Yeah, that is hard. What we want to do, what our flesh wants to do during hard times, is we want to reinforce how hard it is. So let's carry on. Let's get negative. Let's tell everyone how terrible it is. Let's whinge and complain to God how terrible life is, how hard life is, because I'm feeling this way. But Paul is saying, here's a key, that no matter the circumstances of life, no matter how good it is or how bad it is, if you begin to rejoice in the Lord, you see, what you are doing is you are tapping into a supernatural ability to overcome the most traumatic situations of life. Because what happens when you start to rejoice, something starts to shift on the inside. You might start off feeling terrible, but as you start to say, I love you, I'm happy about you, God, I'm so happy that you called me, that you anointed me, I'm so thankful that I got a roof over my head, that I got shoes to wear, I thank you, God, that I got breakfast in my stomach today. As you start to do that, all of a sudden these negative, terrible emotions start to get affected. We can't stay depressed when we start to rejoice. Something starts to break off us. Some of us, especially in Melbourne, like whinge, complain, criticize. Stop it. Rejoice in the Lord when I feel like it. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it. Why does he have to say it again? Because it's hard sometimes. But these are the keys to live a successful life through every life's circumstances. Rejoice. The next one, be unselfish. Be unselfish. Yeah, do we have to talk about that? Our world is based on today, based on look out for number one. Someone started spreading a philosophy that you need to look after number one first. And what happened was that then people started to think about, well, what's best for me? What's best for me? And so then they started to lock down all their stuff. I'm not going to be generous. I'm not going to give stuff away because that's not best for me. It affects the way we relate and have friendships. When you're looking for what's best for me, the way you relate to somebody is, I'm not going to open up to you. I'm not going to share with you. I'm going to just do what's best for me in our relationship. And when you have a relationship that is only one way, it cannot last. We break down in relationships because relationships, the best ones, the long-term ones, are based on unselfishness. How can I love you? How can I give to you? How can I make your life better? This is what God did for us. He said, how can I make your life better? I know I'll send my one and only son to die on a cross to take away all of your pain, all of your sin, all of your shame, all of your past, give you a brand new start. And while we're at it, let me give you eternal life. Selfish people are skinny people because we're just looking after ourselves. But here's another key. When you're going through hard times, don't shut down. Don't lock down. Be unselfish. When you don't feel like it, you still reach out. You still give. Again, what are you doing? You're tapping into a supernatural power. It's the power of God. It's His nature to be unselfish. And what you do is you open yourself up to a whole lot of other people, their resources, their love, their encouragement, their joy, their support. When you're unselfish. Then it says, don't be anxious. Another key. How many of us live with way too much anxiety? Do not fret, it says, or have any anxiety about anything. Wow. That covers it all, right? But in every circumstances and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. You see, we need to live a life where we're continually saying, God, I give you this anxiety. I give you this fear. I give you this worry. I give you this test result. I give you this bank account balance. I give you this bill. I give you this relationship. I give you my child. I just give it over to you. You said be anxious for nothing. But you know what? Our circumstances, they really pick at us. You know, they nag at us. They tell us how bad it is. They tell us it will never change. They'll remind us of our past. Our circumstances will remind us of our family heritage and what it was like for our family. Oh, you'll never get out of that. Nag, 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 nag. This is anxiety. And we can go through all sorts of situations when anxiety can just come upon us. Fear and panic attacks can come upon us. But Jesus is encouraging us today. Don't be anxious about that. Don't worry about that. Why would he do that? Why would he say that? He said, because if you pray, I'm going to move. If you pray, I will heal. If you pray, I will save. If you us that we're relying on our own strength to live. No thanks, my strength runs out. I'm the yo-yo, remember? One minute I'm strong, one minute I'm weak. But when we pray, see, this is why we don't have to be anxious for anything. We pray. God says, okay, yeah, let's do this. Let's heal you. Let's break you free of that addiction. Let's change your family atmosphere. Let me wash you clean of that sin. Great, let's pray about that. Because he begins to move. So don't be anxious. Pray. These are all these things that if we click into gear and we do all these things, no matter the circumstances. It'll be cool. I'll be good. Because God, he'll sort it out. Because he's powerful. And he told me, I just got to stand firm in him. I just got to start rejoicing. I got to just start praying. I can't be like I used to be. God wants me to overcome everything. He wants me in this even keel, that even when the storm comes, he showed me. He said, quiet, be still. Because this is what happens when you start doing these things. This is what you release. And God's peace shall be yours. And here's the definition of God's peace. That tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is what happens when you start doing these things. Peace is released over your heart and mind. It's not just release, it garrisons and guards. So it's protecting you from life circumstances and the emotional roller coaster that it can sometimes be. This is what happens, friends. This is what we have in God. This is what Jesus has made a way for us to live in, a peace that cannot always be worked out by our own human reasoning and logic. But no matter what comes our way, I'm good. I got him. I'm in the Lord. And his peace is guarding my mind and it's guarding my heart. In fact, I have a fearlessness and I have a contentedness. No longer the yo-yo. That assured, steadfast, strong, even-keeled person. This is what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to live with those traumas and those hurts and those worries and those fears, friends. He wants you free. He wants you whole. He wants your mind whole. He wants your heart whole. He wants your entire body whole. This is not a story. This is not a fairy tale. This is our reality because of Jesus. This is what we have. This is what we can wake up to every single morning. We can rejoice in him. Because when I ask him to, he moves. last two things. He says, think on good things. Where's your thinking at? Are you even sitting in this room worrying about something? Is something plaguing your thoughts? What are you thinking that for? The Bible says, think on good things. Whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is winsome, one of those words. Whatever is good, think about that. Don't let your mind be cluttered and filled with all this negativity. What's that? What is worry? That's anxiety. Think on good stuff. That's why thinking on the Word of God is always good, because in the Word of God, there's always healing, there's always breakthrough, there's always provision, there's always a miracle. And then the last thing that I want to remind us of in this scripture says, practice what you learn. See, there's no use just coming to church and hearing these things and go, oh, good job. We got to put all of this into practice if this is the kind of life that we want to live. It's available to us. We just got to practice it. You know, we've heard it before. Faith without works is dead. But faith with works is alive. This is this life that God has for every single one of us. It's not for His favorites. It's not just for His well-behaved children. It's for every single one of us that want to access His kingdom. He's saying, hey, would you just stand in me? Come on, stand in the Lord. Come on, will you start to rejoice in me? Will you start to come into agreement together? Will you start to harmonize together? Will you start, laying all your burdens at my feet? Will you start to just let go of that anxiety and that fear? Will you just let it all go? Will you receive my peace? Because so walking it out. Because then it says this is an incredible thing. Model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. This is our God. Untroubled, undisturbed well-being. This is what God has for you. A life that is untroubled, undisturbed, and full of well-being. This is our God. This is what He has for us. And see, if we put into practice these things, what do we get? His presence. His presence. Why? Because He is the Prince of Peace. See, once you start practicing this, you shouldn't just be coming to church and putting your praise and your worship on. You need to practice that at home. You shouldn't be just coming to church and doing a little bit of prayer time. No, you should be practicing that every single day. See, as you start doing these things, you're practicing the keys of the kingdom. And what are you doing? You are releasing peace over your mind. You are releasing that guard and that garrison over your heart and mind. You are releasing the presence of God in your family, in your home, in your workplace. You are releasing God. See, this is why, no matter what you face, no matter the high, no matter the low, God is with you. God is working. God is healing. God is opening up doors. God is at work. Because this is the God we serve.
We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.